I also feel like that parenting can be very powerful. I think that parenting is another opportunity that we have as moms and dads to ignite a fire in the hearts of our children. Even I think grandparents still have a role to play in igniting that fire. And so that's why we're in 2 Timothy. If you want to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're looking at verses 5 through 7. And it tells us how Timothy was shaped by his mother's faith and his grandmother's faith. They influenced his life. Have you ever been influenced by a mother? You know, Susanna Wesley was the baby of the family. Her family had 25 children. Can you imagine? What about if you had 25 kids? How would you be doing? But anyway, Susanna Wesley was the baby. She was number 25. And so anyway, I thought it was interesting how her father, she learned a lot from her dad, but he was a Puritan pastor. And how as she grew older, she said, "Dad, you read the Bible every single day." And he said, "Yes, sweetheart, I have a goal. I read 20 chapters in God's word every day." So I thought, whoa, is that ever a challenge for me, even as a pastor? But you know, Susanna grew up and she had her own family. She bore 19 children, but only 10 of those children survived. But the 10 that did were so blessed. Do you know that Susanna Wesley homeschooled her children 6 hours a day, 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the afternoon? She would spend teaching her children. And then it's amazing how they would have supper, get the kids all washed up, cleaned up, and candles were out at 8 o'clock. And so just imagine how organized that she was. But every child, she would teach them to read the Bible, get this, by 5 years of age. Can you imagine? 5 years of age, she would teach them, for example, scripture, languages, manners, work and responsibility. They had chores, respect, and self-control, and so forth. But the thing that boggles my mind is it says that toward the end of her parenting years, she would spend 2 hours every day in personal devotions. And I'm thinking, okay, this is really an amazing woman. But you know, her son, John Wesley, he grew up to be a mighty man of God, preached 42,000 sermons, wrote 233 books, was instrumental in starting and founding several hospitals and orphanages and so forth. And then another son, Charles Wesley, wrote over 8,000 hymns. So just think about how the influence of that one mother, how is God going to use your influence, mom or grandmother, for God? I think we have an opportunity to light a passion for God while we have our kids. I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy 1, 5 through 7. Would you stand in honor of God's word? I want to read these, and then we're going to look at three more of the matches that I think we have available to us in Christ if we will just strike them and light the fire for God within our children and grandchildren. He says here, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Let's pray. Lord, here we are. We're gathered in this place. We've already been listening to you and sensing the movement of your spirit. So now just continue your work, glorify your son. Lord, equip us as parents that we might have some handles on how we can light a fire within the hearts of our children. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last time I gave you three. Do you remember them? I'm not going to have a quiz, so don't stress out. But the first match we saw last time was the match of authenticity. Is it real for you? You know, the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith." That word sincere we saw last time means nothing fake, nothing pretended. It's just real. Is your faith real? You know, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7 reminds us that sometimes people around us, they don't know just how real Our faith is until we go through suffering, till we go through the fire. And then they see it's so genuine, our faith. You know, maybe you're going through a difficult time and you're saying, Lord, I don't understand. I'm trying to live for you the best I can. I don't know why this is happening to me. And God, if he could speak, I think he would speak through his word and say, it may not relate to you at all. I'm trying to speak through your life to those around you. And so just keep it authentic and real. The other thing we saw last time was how we need to apply it in our daily life. Would you say that your faith is just Sunday morning faith? Or would you say that your faith is just something academic? I believe it needs to be more. It was more for Grandmother Lois and for Mother Eunice. He says that you need to have a faith that dwelt first in your Grandmother Lois and your Mother Eunice. You see, that word dwelt there means to be at home. You know what it's like when you're at home. You can relax. Well, what he's saying is faith was at home in that grandmother's life, in the mother's life, and was now at home in Timothy's life. Is faith at home in your life? Is Jesus able to just live it each and every day? You know, James 1 says, we shouldn't just be a hearer of the word. We ought to also be a doer of the word. And so that's why I'm saying we need to be applying it. Our kids need to see this. Notice what it says there. It says, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And so that's a very important part. If we're going to hand it off, then we need to make sure that we are applying it to daily life. On Mondays, on Friday nights, on Thursday morning, all these different times. Well, we saw one more thing last time, and that was the attractiveness. And what I'm referring to here is the transferability. The transferability. Do your kids and your grandkids, when they see your life, do you live it in such a winsome way, in such a healthy way, that your kids say, I just want the faith that my dad, my mom has. I really want it. You know, that's what I'm talking about. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, then kids, because they have so many areas that they're working on and so many areas they're developing and so forth, they're going to fail. And so if we're not careful, when they fail, we may come down really hard on them with emotional outbursts and critical words. We may even have what could be described more as a destructive influence rather than a constructive influence. So what I'm talking about is not, you know, your message. What I'm talking about is the manner that you live. Do your kids only perceive Christianity to be critical, negative, you know, all these kind of things? Or, like Josh McDowell said in his book, The Disconnected Generation, do they know that you care about them and that's why you give them rules? You know, Josh McDowell says, rules plus a relationship equals a positive response. Rules plus a relationship. But you know what he said? Rules minus a relationship. When they don't know that you care about them, rules minus a relationship will equal rebellion every time. Even if they're raised in a Christian home, they just resist it and they resent it. That's why I told you last time, Titus 2 verse 10 says, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior. Does your life adorn the gospel? The way you're raising your family, does it adorn the gospel? Does it make it attractive and look really good? I think it should. Well, let's break some new ground this morning. I just want to pass along three more matches for you as we close out. Let's break new ground with the fourth match, assurance. I believe that assurance can also ignite a fire for God. Did you pick up on those three words, I am sure? The Apostle Paul is talking about Timothy's faith. He's talking about a faith that was transferred from his grandmother and his mother over to Timothy. And he says, I am sure. In the Greek, it's the word pytho. It means convinced or persuaded of the truth or the validity of something. You know, the word sure is actually used 52 times in the New Testament. Do you have assurance of your salvation? If you don't, why do you struggle underneath that uncertainty when God is saying, I can give you assurance? God can build into your kids assurance not only of salvation, but convictions of what is right and wrong. You know, if you were to look with me just about one page over or two pages over in your Bible to 2 Timothy 3, you'll see how is it that Eunice and Lois raised Timothy to have these convictions. I want you to see something in chapter 3. Would you turn over to 2 Timothy 3, and I want us to begin with verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. Did you catch that? Firmly believed. Knowing from whom you learned it. Who did he learn it from? From his grandmother and his mother. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. What was it that helped this mom to raise her son Timothy in such a way that he turned out rock solid? Two things I would give you from this passage in chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. I think number one, the stability of parental guidance. The stability of parental guidance. You can see from verse 14 and 15, his mom was involved, engaged. Don't be passive with your kids. Be engaged with them. Guide them. They need your guidance. They need you to help them. But then also not only stability of parental guidance, but the authority of biblical standards. The authority of biblical standards. Where is it that you learn what needs to be corrected in your life? Well, the Word of God, he says in verse 16. The Word of God has equipped every mom and every dad in this room for what you need for parenting. All we've got to do is go back to it. All we've got to do is sow that word, put the word into their hearts so that they will know where they should go. That's what he means, I think, in Proverbs 22 and verse 6 when it says, train up a child in the way he should go. Not that he will do that, but train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, if you'll put it in there, at some point, it will come back and it will lead them in the right direction. But we do have to build that assurance and conviction. You can trust the Word of God. Let's look at the fifth match. There is a fifth match that I think ignites a fire for God in our kids, our grandkids. And that would be the match of action. Is your faith just talk and there's never any kind of action behind it? Paul was reminding Timothy to fan into flame the gift that God had given to him. How does one fan into flame the gift of God? You know, God's given each one of you a gift. You have some gift. You have more than one maybe, but at least you have one gift. How is it that we fan it into flame? By serving and being connected and helping and using the gifts that we have for the Lord. Let me just ask you, just think about something from a rational perspective, okay? Just think about this. If our kids see us give our time, our energy, our effort to our career only, if they see us give our time, our effort, our energy toward sports only, but they never see us give our time, our energy, our effort toward things of the Lord, they never see us serving, ministering, and so forth, why would we ever think that when they grow up, they're going to want to serve God in some way? I think we've got to teach them that one of the most important things in life is if God helps you to be able to play the harp with incredible skill, you know, like Amy, or like, you know, play a guitar. Is that a Fender Telecaster over there? That's my dad had one of those. I inherited one from my dad. But anyway, I'm just kind of passing that. It's just a private conversation, okay? Don't listen to that. But anyway, what I'm saying is, God's gifted them with incredible talents and abilities and gifts, so they're using it for him. Do you use what he's given to you? Maybe you can build things, fix things, or maybe you teach, or whatever you do, do it for God and see what the Lord will do. You know, Acts 16 tells us that Timothy was well spoken of. In verses 1 and 2, it says Timothy was well spoken of in Lystra, in the church there, by the brothers. Why was Timothy well spoken of? How did that happen? You know what I think? This is conjecture, but I don't think he got there by himself. I think that in the church in Lystra, his mom was engaged. It doesn't even say his dad was a born-again Christian, so you wouldn't expect his dad to be filling in for the Lord. But here's the thing. His mom and his grandmother must have been serving, and the people said, there's nobody like this family right here. Timothy, if you can use him, Paul, you ought to take him with you on these mission trips because he is going to be an incredible blessing in ministry. You know, Timothy did grow up to be a man of action, using his gifts for God. Do you know where he was when the Apostle Paul was writing him? He was pastoring Ephesus. So he was in a church in Ephesus, but that wasn't the only church. Do you know that he served in five churches? Berea, Corinth, Philippi, Thessalonica, and now Ephesus. Do you use the gifts and abilities that God has given to you? You know, I think that whenever we want the Lord to use us. I heard one guy say, make your life a mission, not an intermission. You know, we ought to say, God, there's something I can do for you. Please use me. Let me go to the last match. The last match that I think would ignite a fire for God would be affirmation. You know, most Bible scholars believe that this young man, Timothy, he may have had some struggles. Do you have struggles? They say he may have struggled with some kind of insecurity. He may have had some kind of fear that he dealt with. You know, since Timothy's dad was not a believer and thus he was not in the picture biblically, God called Paul into Timothy's life to serve as a mentor. I wonder if some men here would be willing to ever come alongside of someone that's younger. That maybe the dad's not in the home at all, or maybe the dad's not a believer. Would you be willing to help encourage and jumpstart something in the life of a younger boy? Have you ever needed a boost from a car battery? I mean, I learned a long time ago, I just need a set of jumper cables. I keep a set of jumper cables in all my cars. You know, I got one in my car. But here's the thing. The other day, Elisa was cleaning out her closet. And she said, Dad, I found these jumper cables in my closet, you know. And I was like, those were supposed to be in your car, you know. But anyway, at some point, she took them out. But, you know, everybody needs a jump every now and then, right? Don't you need a boost every now and then? I think that's what parents can give. So the question would be, if you want to boost the faith of your son, your daughter, your grandson, your granddaughter, how can you do it? I want to give these two closing verses and give you three ways to affirm. I think affirmation really would light a fire for God in your children's heart. So let me give you three ways to affirm. The first one, he says, which is in you through the laying on of my hands, through the laying on of my hands. You know, I believe that affirmation flows by connecting through touch. Do you ever hug your kids? A long time ago, I heard a wise man, Dr. James Dobson. He wrote a lot of books on parenting. He was a psychologist and counselor and so forth, conference speaker. But Dr. Dobson said something, and it stuck with me. Even before I had kids, I said, Lord, don't let me forget that. He said, when your kids get to be a teenager, don't stop hugging them, because they're going to just naturally, you know, I'm okay. But he said, don't stop. He said, you hug your kids, especially dads, hug your daughters. You know, moms, hug your sons. Don't let them feel that they don't need your affection, because deep, deep down within, they all long to know they're precious and they're loved. And so it's through a hug, it's through a handshake or a fist bump, whatever you do, listen, we've got to stay connected with our kids. And I think that when we hug them, we let them know you're precious to me. You mean so much to me. It's visible. It's tangible. It releases all kind of things in the human body whenever you know somebody cares about me. There's a second thing, though. I believe affirmation, this may sound strange. I believe that affirmation also flows by clarifying what is trash, by clarifying the trash. Look at this verse. Which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God gave us a spirit not of fear. Do you hear what Paul, the mentor, is saying to the, do you call him a mentee or a mentoree? Or let's just call him a protege. But anyway, he's somebody. And Paul's been trying to lead him. And so here he is. And he says, look, one thing you don't need in your life, Timothy, is fear. He said, it's just trash. It didn't come from God. Fear does not come from God. Can you help clarify to your children? I think it's a way of building them up, of affirming them, saying, that's nothing but trash. It'll only bring you down. It won't help you reach those goals that God has for your life. But then there's another affirmation jumper cable that I would put on there, and that is affirmation flows by coaching with truth, by coaching with truth. You know, we are so thankful that you bring your children to our children's ministry, to our student ministry. Couldn't be more grateful to that. We feel humbled that you would trust us. But here's the thing, Mom and Dad, we're not replacing you. We're only supporting you. We're just trying. We don't have them as much as you do. You're the real coach. Every mother and every father, you're the coach. You coach them with truth. Notice what Paul does here. He said, look, God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but I'll tell you what he did give us. He did give us power. He gave us love, and he gave us self-control. And I ran those back, and I thought, how do those play out in real life? I thought what he would be saying is, Timothy, don't forget, God's power is unlimited. And so it'd be like, hey, you know, unlimited power. The word for power there is the word we get our word dynamite, dynamo. It's a very powerful word. But then there's also love. I think you would say, Timothy, even when you fail, I want you to know God's love is unconditional. Oh, listen, his power is unlimited, but his love is unconditional. He'll love you the same tomorrow morning as he did this morning, and he will for the rest of your life, regardless of what you do. The other thing you would say is God can give you unparalleled wisdom so that you can gain control in your life. It won't really be so much self-control as in the flesh as it will be God control within you. That's what I think God wants parents to do. I want to close with an illustration. Have you ever heard of someone called Nancy Lee DeMoss? I want to tell you something about her dad. His name's Art DeMoss. Art DeMoss was an insurance innovator, highly respected Christian businessman. He and his wife raised 7 children. One of them is a conference speaker and author named Nancy Lee DeMoss. Since she's married now, it's Wogelmuth. But she has written about the influence of her father upon her life. Do you know that Nancy Lee DeMoss said, you know, my dad passed away just hours after my 21st birthday. She said, it was the hardest thing in my life. But listen, these are her words, not my words. These are her words about the influence of her father. She said, I doubt that a single day has passed since September 1st, 1979, that my life has not been touched by the life of this man who knew and who walked with God. And I thought, wow, isn't that amazing? 1979, she's writing that in 2020. And so I'm thinking, wow, how has the Lord used her? Oh, it's incredible how he's used her. She's written 22 books, 40 million copies of her books have been sold. Millions of women have heard her radio broadcast. She's been involved in Life Action Ministries and so forth. I'm telling you, it's amazing how God has used her. But it all goes back to her dad and how he influenced her when she was younger. Here's she said, he was an encourager and affirmer. Times of failure and insecurity and inadequacy, he taught us to trust God. We learned to trust at the feet of a man who trusted God. His model of humility was foundational, she wrote. He never felt worthy or deserving of the goodness and grace of God. She said, I watched him for 28 years when I lived in the house with my parents. 28 years I watched him. Every single morning he was home, the first hour went to God. And then he began to share the rest of his day with others. Wow. You know, after his death, Nancy Lee DeMoss says she even received a note in the mail. She doesn't know who sent it, but somebody sent it that her dad had written. And it was 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in the truth. Wow. What will our kids say? You can light a fire now. Remember, if you want to light a fire, you're going to have to say, beginning today or Maybe you've already been doing it for many years, but you need to say, Lord, I want my faith to be real. I want it to be genuine. You're going to have to say, Lord, I want to apply truth to my daily life. I want them to see that I live it out day by day. I want to adorn the gospel. I don't want to be a roadblock. I don't want to be a stumbling block for the gospel. I want to actually make the gospel look good so that my kids would want it. I also want to build assurance through the word in the hearts of my kids so that my kids cannot be swayed. Will you demonstrate your love for Christ through your actions? I think that they'll pick up on that as they see you serve. Will you consciously look for ways to affirm the commitment to Christ that you see in your kids? Don't just tell them all the things they're doing wrong. Tell them what you see in their character, in their actions, they're doing right. Say, so proud of you. I saw that. I want to invite you to stand with me. I want to have a closing time of invitation. I would like to give an opportunity in case there's someone here who would like to make a decision for Christ. So let's close our eyes and let's go to the Lord in prayer. And then I'm going to ask you, I'll be standing down front if you need someone to talk with. I'm not a perfect parent. I'm not, I promise. But here's the thing. Even though I'm not perfect, I want to grow. Do you want to grow as a parent? Do you want your kids to really love God? Then these are some of the things that are involved. You may not need to come this morning, but if you do, I'll be here. And especially if you need to come and say, Lord, I want to trust Christ. I need your help in raising my kids. He'll help you.